Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate you listening. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. Hit me up on that text line, and I will respond accordingly. Still to come, we got Patrick McWilliams from the Baldwin County Republican Party in the 11 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. But joining us now, one of my favorite guests, always a pleasure of having him on, but he's running for the first congressional district nomination, Republican nomination, for the seat he currently occupies, our congressman here in this listening area, Jerry Carl, with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you doing, sir?
I'm surviving, aside from a few football mishaps. Life is going pretty well.
Well, I saw you at the ball game. Hopes were high. It was a great ball game. Auburn has nothing to be ashamed of. I'm an Alabama fan. I've never hid that. I know that's a bad thing to say in politics in the state of Alabama to mix football, but Auburn should be very proud.
Let me say something on that real quick, Congress, because I think it's this. When people like dodge their Auburn or Alabama allegiance, that's a red flag, right? You got to own it. Like, you own being an Alabama fan, and I can appreciate that. It's like Tuberville and his Auburn affiliation or whatever. In politics, I think you get more respect from voters by just sticking to your team and owning it. But that's... I don't know if there's many people out there like Auburn fans, like, oh, he's an Alabama fan, I'm going to go vote for someone else.
Hey, when I heard Tommy Tuberville was running for Senate, I said, well, no Alabama fans that vote for him, so there's no way he can win. That tells you what I know. Now, there was a lot of Alabama fans that crossed over and voted for Tommy, so, and we're proud he did. I mean, it turned out to be great. So, but anyway, ball game, Jeff.
Well, it wasn't a good, was not a good ball game. But there's that, and then there's certain, if you look at, like, culturally, Congressman, that I think voters, people appreciate that football culture, the hard work, the mentality that you put forth an effort. And while we, like, get our war paint on our face on Saturdays, there's still something about that football culture that people respect in Alabama.
And it brings us all together. We can debate this. We can debate this game last Saturday for the next 364 days. But I guarantee you one thing: next year at the Iron Bowl, it's going to start out 0-0. It's going to be an open field. I love what Wesley Britt told me about that football field. He said, "I believe it's built over the top of an Indian burial ground." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "There are some weird stuff that happens down on that field in Auburn." And you saw it this weekend, but anyway.
And we've only been playing you guys there since 89, but I don't know. It's really, really ramped up here in the last 10 years or so, but, we had this discussion all day long. I would love to, but let's get on to, the important matters of state here. Let's talk your campaign. How does that seem to be going right now?
Campaign's going very well. We're focused right now on obviously to get out to vote in our district. We're spending as much time as we can possibly spend in our district, and we're trying to be fair and split up half the time over in the Wiregrass and trying to stir up new votes, new folks in the Wiregrass. We got to spend a couple of days last week over there, and it was absolutely wonderful. I mean, just the people over there are just so warm. They're just good, hardworking people. They're looking for good, strong representation. They have the same needs and the same wants that we do in our district now. You know, they're worried about the border. They're worried about the fentanyl issue. You know, they're worried about the exact same issues. I got several of them that brought up the fact, what does the Wiregrass have in common with the Gulf Coast? Well, helicopters. Let's start with that. If you fly a helicopter or a fixed wing for the Coast Guard, you pass through Mobile. If you fly a helicopter for the Army, you pass through Enterprise. We've got something in common there when we start talking about our national defense. And peanuts, you know, the ag community. We're Mobile, the not just Mobile area, Ballin, Escambia County, all of us big into peanuts, cotton, and cattle. Same thing in the wiregrass. So we have a lot in common. So it's my job to go and tell that story. It's my job for the folks in wiregrass to understand that I'm going to represent the entire district, not just a small area. And just get a look and see what the needs are. I got on Fort Rucker. I got to do a tour on Fort Rucker. I didn't want to go in there with the brass. I didn't want to go in there with all the military escorts and all of that. And they love to show you the shiny stuff. I want to see the bad stuff. And I think Fort Rucker has been so neglected. It truly has. For so much to happen on that facility, and yes, the new name is not been renamed, but everyone still calls it Rucker over there. And I guess I got to change my ways, but it is tired. It's old buildings from the 60s, and we've really got to focus on bringing some money to that facility just to update stuff. So they have some strong needs that have been neglected over the past. So I got to see that and be a part of it, and that's important to me because I'm a hands-on kind of guy.
Well, let's talk about this. With this, the newly drawn district, the political stripes are a little brighter. They're a little more red. It's more of a conservative district now. Does that change anything for you, the way if you are elected again to represent this first congressional district? Do you govern any, or do you do anything different?
Do I do anything different? I probably just start focusing and talking more about my conservative ways that have always been there. I just don't focus on those. You know, I'm a workhorse. I'm not a show horse. And I've always been that way. My entire life, I'd rather work through issues than get out in front of a camera. So I have to force myself to do more of that and talk about more, you know, constantly trying to justify my conservative ways. And to me, Jeff, to be quite honest, if my life doesn't show that, for me to try to convince people that would be a lie. And my whole life has been a conservative way, the way I've served in not just for the 3 years I've been up here in Washington, but the 8 years I was as county commissioner. I mean, under a microscope there also. So I'm conservative. Now the issue is, okay, well, you've got to start talking more conservative. Okay, I can do that. That's not a problem. But talking about me, I've never been real comfortable with. And that's just, you know, I'd rather talk about somebody else and give somebody else the praise, get the job done, and go on to the next problem. Well, I've had to change some of my ways, to be quite honest, and it's a little uncomfortable for me, but we'll push through it.
Joined by Jerry Carley, he's running for the first congressional district nomination. The newly drawn against Barry Moore, who is the incumbent in the second. Congressman, let's talk about this. And traditionally, it's a hot button issue, and no one really, you know, we just agree to disagree on it for most of my life. But we talk about abortion, and abortion right now seems to have a big place in our electoral politics. Coming out of Dobbs, and that really changed everything. But there's some Republicans out there who are looking at it and saying, hey, GOP needs to soften its stance here or it's going to continue to lose elections. There's a handful of voices out there. It makes me very nervous when I hear things like that. Where are you on this? What do you think is the right path forward for the Republican Party as a whole?
Well, I am very pro-life, period, without a doubt. I understand the push that you're talking about and the handful of people that are pushing it. You know, all the Supreme Court said, it's not a federal issue, it's a state issue. And we as elected officials fuss every day about getting things out of the federal hands and giving states the right to choose. The state of Alabama, though, does not appreciate the way that the interpretation of laws of California does, right? I mean, that goes without saying. We don't want to be California. We want to be Alabama. We're much, much more conservative. So all this law did was give the states the right to choose on the abortion issue. 15 weeks, no abortion at all, whatever laws the state wants to set up. So because the state of Alabama has chosen zero, I've hit a trifecta here. It works perfect for me because that's my view. But people that get all bent out of shape and they want the federal government to mandate this, but they don't want the federal government to mandate other stuff, the more you give the federal government room to get inside your life, the more it's going to grow and the more it's going to take over. So anything we can push away from the federal government and get them out of our business in the state of Alabama, I'm for. And this is one of them. So I know the Democrats want to draw us into this conversation. They want it to sound like we are anti-women's health issues, and that is far from the truth. That is a bold-faced lie. But we also understand that that child is a living organism that has rights also. So before we start saying we want the federal government to change the law, I don't want the federal government to change the law. That's not the federal government's job. That is the state's job. Well, federal government, the Supreme Court has already told us that. So let's focus on what the state wants. I think the state of Alabama has spoken. Because I've talked to many state lawmakers about, well, what do you think about if we make some exceptions here? And I get flat no's every time I bring it up. And I bring it up not to change them. I bring it up because I want their input. I want to know what they know and how they feel. It's important to me.
Society has always, they've never fully answered that question. You've acknowledged it that the being inside the womb is a person, and does it get the same rights as you and I, the same protections?
Yes.
And we rely on our elite institutions, I guess, to kind of make, since society can't disagree, to make a definitive ruling. And the problem's always been the Supreme Court's always punted on this question and never really given us a true, like, you know, proclamation about that. And I think that's why, like, here we are, you know, 40 years later, 50 years later, still arguing about, or you and I aren't arguing, but as a whole are still having this discussion. Yeah. Because we never fully have addressed that question. Is it a life, or does it get the same protections as you and I?
Of course it does. In my world, it does. I mean, our parents had the same option. How about if we would have been aborted? We wouldn't have our children. You know, my son would not have defended us in Afghanistan. My son wouldn't be rescuing us from fires today. My daughter wouldn't be teaching your kids in school system right now if my mother had chosen to abort me. So, you know, let's think of the ramifications here. It's not just that one life. It's all the lives that come after that. I mean, that child may discover if it gets a chance to live under Alabama roof, that may be the one child that changes this world. You know, we've got to give it every chance to be there and to do that. So just to treat a child as a chunk of flesh that you cut off like a limb and throw away, I can't imagine that. I can't. I mean, the stuff we're seeing and witnessing, I have to look at in what's going on in Israel, Hamas. I mean, just chopping those babies up. What's those children? What's the difference there? Tell me what the difference is. One's born and one's not born. They're still children. They still need a chance to go out and make their own life and change something in this world for something positive. Isn't that what we are doing? Isn't that what we're trying to do with our lives? So why should we give somebody the right to make money off abortions, because that's what this is about. It's about money. I mean, Washington, I mean, it's all about money. You know, it's not about that child. And if the state can make that decision, the state of Alabama can make that decision, we can hold ourselves on this abortion issue, it's not an issue anymore. It's the law. And we're going to impose the law.
What about, like, well, you know, in presidential politics, I mean, it's a national question. I mean, Where ought Republicans go? Just stick to the guns on the state rights, the state, the 10th Amendment sort of aspect to this, that let's just leave it up to the 50 laboratories of democracy to make that decision? Or do they need to have a definitive position on it?
I still say keep the federal government out of everything we can possibly keep them out of. I'm up here in the middle of it, Jeff. You give them an inch and they'll take 10 miles. They don't take a mile. They take 10 miles and they got to hire 2,000 people to discuss it. I mean, nothing up here is cheap. I mean, everything is just money, money, money. So the more we can get them out of our business, the better off we are as a state. I trust state government. I trust local elected officials a whole lot more than anybody else I trust up here. Do you know why? Because they stand in line at that grocery store where those people vote on them, and they get their ear chewed off by people that vote. They're not swayed by TV and what's going on, on a national basis. They give those local elected officials an earful simply because they have access to them. So that's where it's been so important for me. I think that's one thing that really separates me from my opponent in this race. I've always leaned into getting the ground report. You know, I'll call the city council members. I sat Enterprise the other night. I sat through a city council meeting. You thought, well, why would you sit through a city council meeting? I'm curious what their issues are, how they handle their meetings. I got to meet the folks on the ground. That's what government's about. It's a team effort. You know, I don't lead things up here. I'm up here representing people. And I don't want to be the last word in this. I want my local elected officials to tell me what they need and how I can help them. And that separates, again, from myself and my opponent. When we announced we wanted to get some support, we had 52 or 53 letters of endorsement within 48 hours. Have you ever heard of anything like that happening that fast? Everybody stepped up. Every Republican stepped up and said, yes, we'll write you that letter.
Congressman, we're running a little low time. Before I let you go, folks need to find out more about your campaign or what you're up to. You got a website or a Facebook page you can point them to?
Simply Google Jerry Carl for Congress, and I'd appreciate you going online and getting online for our newsletter and any information that's coming up on the campaign. And, Jeff, thank you for your time and allowing me to get on it.
Absolutely. And well, we're going to try to do this regularly, if all possible. But thanks for making time for us.
I'll do it. I'll do it every week if you want to do it.
Absolutely. Congressman Jerry Carl there, running for the 1st Congressional District here in Alabama. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.